Indication by Mr. Coker.
I give him the Lord, thank for each day you've given us, Lord, be with us in the Lord, and going to this meeting. All this rest in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This time, roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Present.
Frank Coachman.
Here.
David Hill. Adam Jones. Robert Heff.
Here.
Chairman, you have three present and two absent.
Yeah, three present, two absent. Constitute a quorum. Any business for next time, be official. Moving on down the agenda, approval of minutes of May 7th and May 16th. Got a motion. Accept the minutes.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Here, a second.
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Frank Coachman.
Yes.
Chairman, you have two in favor, none against.
Motion's been approved.
Frank Coachman.
Yes.
Now we're down to order of business. At this time, I will turn the chair over to the vice chair.
Okay, first order of business, TR-15108, a travel resolution of the Stone Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board, GOAB, Texas Creek and Energy License Agreement with SoCo Limited, sponsor Robert Hub. Have a motion.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Second, Mr. Beaver, any discussion?
Yeah. This is just an end user license agreement. It has a limited waiver of sovereign immunity as to the application laws in the venue. So in order for us to do business with them, we have to get a limited waiver. It also just keeps it in place so that we can keep buying new software, and that will go by, it's kind of like a terms and conditions document. Okay. Jeff, do you
have anything?
So this is an antivirus product for the casinos. Over the past few years, about 7-8 years now, we've had the same solution, and it really hasn't grown with our environment. So this is an effort to improve our security posture for the casinos and the nation's assets. It fits really well into our environment, and I hope for your approval.
Any more discussion? Anybody got any? If not, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Chairman, you have two in favor and one against.
Two in favor, none opposed. Motion passes. Next on the agenda, TR-15109, the travel resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Operations Authority Board to execute marketing agreement with ATC Managed Sites LLC to market the use of a distributed antenna system and rooftop site to wireless service providers for the River Spirit Casino. Sponsor Robert Hubbard.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Representative Beaver, discussion?
Now you have time to yarn.
So this actually came through this committee, the National Council, a few months ago, and the Attorney General's office wrote the legislation. And we had a little bit of discussion, and I believe our realty office said that they wanted some more input on that. I think there was a little bit of confusion of what we were actually doing. And so I used the same language that the AG's office had written, and I just added some more language to let everyone know that these are not actual any kind of a lease that we're trying to enter into. It's basically just a marketing agreement where this particular company is going to build the infrastructure for River Spirit. And in turn, they're going to go market to all these different cell phone servers or providers, and then they're going to get a percentage. But when they start doing the negotiations and they come up with a lease, it still has to come back to the National Council, and the National Council will have to approve those, and the BIA will too. And so this new language just basically talks a little bit about the infrastructure and that it is just a marketing agreement, and the fees that are going to be payable to ATC and the nation will be negotiated and will be approved by a National Council. Jeff can talk a little bit about why we need the distributed antenna system. And then, we had to have this come before the council because it's a 10-year agreement. And I did speak with your National Council attorney just to make sure that he wanted to go back over it because we've talked about it several times.
So for the DAS, if you've been to River Spirit, you know that the cell phone coverage on the floor now is not very great. It's going to get even worse with the materials that we're using to build the new facility. This will allow us to capture some of the cell signals from the outside and feed those into the inside of the building. It's a customer service issue when you don't have that service available to your patrons and guests. Like Jan was mentioning, this is fully funded by this American Tower company. There won't be any cost from our monies. And it'll allow us to provide that customer service that we need to. We've been talking to the Phase 2 construction company about getting this wrapped into the low voltage contractors' bids. So we're working all angles to get this to happen. It's definitely something that we need to have the best facility that we can for our guests.
Okay. Any more discussion? Anybody?
And Realty doesn't have an issue with the way that it's rewritten now, and they are working on a standard form of lease to make sure that everything goes, you know, up to par, and working with us on that, too.
We have a question.
Question?
You said a 10-year lease. Who requested that? They did, or?
They did.
It's a 10-year marketing agreement, actually.
Okay.
Because the DA system has significant costs. And so they're putting it in with their money. And so they want to make sure that we're going to do business with them for 10 years in order for them to recoup their costs.
It's a couple million dollars of infrastructure that they'll be putting at their own cost. And the time frame there for them to recoup that with the lease agreements from the providers is it'll take a few years for them to start seeing the revenue.
And they'll maintain it?
They maintain it.
We have no cost at all.
We don't have any cost at all. In fact, after they get two providers signed on, we actually start getting some of those fees paid back to the nation.
Okay. That's all.
Anybody else? No more discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Robert Huff?
Yes.
Chairman, you have two in favor, none against.
Two in favor, none against. Motion passes. Next on the agenda, TR-15110, the travel resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation supporting the Gaming Operations Authority Board to conduct adequate research and prepare proposed amendments to Title 21, Chapter 4 of the Muskogee Creek Nation Gaming Code to further enhance gaming operations. Sponsor Robert Hull.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Second. Go ahead. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'm going to have Andy come up, please.
Sure. I mean, I know that Jan prepared the motion or anything, but through our operations, we do run into some inefficiencies and bargaining power when it comes to different leases or contracts that we do because we're limited to 1 year, and it also slows down the process for us to be able to obtain better rates or whatever it may be on our contracts that we do. And there's also, as far as spending limits go for management, the board, and everyone else, $25,000 is our limit. So almost anything that we do related to the casino is above the $25,000 mark. So we're just trying to free up the process a little bit for us to work more efficiently. And we do have processes and procedures in place, audits and so forth, that your monies are safeguarded on a daily basis. So I'll let Jan speak more to it.
Honest deal, if you take a look at, you know, our Title 21, that's been in place since we had a high-sex bingo. You know, and some of these laws we have on book, we need to take a look at, and that's what we're trying to do here, say we'll take the time to look at, because they're in charge, you know, to run the gaming board, the gaming scene part of our business and so forth. So I think there's something that we need. We've done something we needed for quite a long time. I think we take a look at the law and see how it has changed and needs to be changed to reflect what we're doing nowadays. You know, we're not doing size-sex bingo anymore. And also at the same time, probably changes the makeup of the board at even some point in time in terms of their authority, what they do in terms of more authority goes to the CEO and the CEO and so forth, you know. So, but I think we need to do this.
Just more for operational efficiencies and
Sometimes we miss out on certain parameters and contracts because of the timing that it takes to get through our system. So I think this better aligns with our operational environment that we have in front of us today. And I'm sure there are other things as we dive through that we will bring in front of you all for approval, if you so let us do the research. So
going back to the spending authority of $25,000, even right now in federal law, anything that's, you know, over $25,000 will be audited anyway. And if you look at, you know, one of the recent amendments that you guys made to the Muskogee College of the Muskogee Creek Nation, where you allowed the spending authority to go up to $100,000 because the president really couldn't deal with payroll and other issues. Well, our CEO and COO, they can't, you know, pay electric bills, and they can't deal with day-to-day contracts because the threshold is so limited and the gaming board only meets twice a month according to our code. So those are things that make the daily gaming operations run inefficient because we're a multi-million dollar company. You go $25,000 threshold. And then the other thing is, you know, obviously he talked about the one-year limitations. One thing that's happening a lot right now is because they're only one-year contracts, you know, we're not getting the best benefits and the best prices because of that. But then the other thing that's happening, they're only 1 year, and so they are expiring. And these companies are not renewing them because it's just not worth their time, or, you know, they're waiting 2 or 3 months to, you know, look at that contract because with everybody else, they're doing 3 to 5 years and don't have it, you know, up to the top of their list. Well, during those 3 or 4 months, we can't do business with them because we don't have a contract in place. It's expired. And so we're just in limbo, kind of hanging out and not knowing what to do next. And either it's that we hang out in limbo or we violate our own laws. And we obviously don't want to do anything like that. So
maybe we have to pay Yon more every year because she has to work under contract.
Yeah, and actually, all the dealer does is really just gets in charge. We're saying, yeah, we're going to support the gaming board to go forth. That's all we're trying to do here. We're not trying to change anything at this point in time. So that's where I think we need to.
Yeah, we just wanted to kind of let the committee know what were some of the issues at hand. And rather than the gaming board spend a lot of money on doing, you know, ample research into the whole code and the different amendments that need to take place, we wanted to see if the committee and the National Council wanted to support that rather than just spend the money and maybe the support wasn't there. One other thing that is a big thing is that, you know, the GOAB section that is Chapter 4 doesn't even necessarily need to be in Title 21. It could be in our section that has MNBE or any other business section, because if you go to the NIGC website and if you talk to their lawyers, we've done that to ourselves. We limited where our management part goes in with our OPG. So if you go down to the model code and go through what they've suggested, they don't have a management part in there. So for us, anytime we want to change anything that has to do with the management responsibilities that we've codified in the code, we have to take it back to the NIGC, and it could take 90 days just for us to make a simple day-to-day management operation change. So that's kind of a big thing, and we just wanted to see if the council would support that, and then they can spend the money to make sure that we get some good amendments before you guys.
Okay. Any more discussion? Mr.
Who all will be involved in research for the gaming code changes, possible changes?
I mean, right now we're thinking Pat, myself, Yon, and the board.
Will there be anybody outside with expertise in gaming? I mean, finally I'll have some to
I think we know our own laws and what we need to do. I mean, that's the reason why we have Yon on board. I think that we're very familiar with our processes and what needs to be freed up for us to operate more efficiently. I don't know if by bringing anybody else in as a consultant base and spending that money, I just don't necessarily know if that's necessary.
So y'all would be using like an outside sub or something, some contract with someone to come in and help?
I don't believe that would be money we'll spend for our nation.
Okay,
and it'll still go through the Attorney General's office. We're still going to ask them to look at that, and you'll have your attorney be able to look at that too. We're not changing the regulatory part, which is, you know, Buddy's code. We're just changing the gaming board part, which is more of a business side of that.
Well, I'd always heard over the years, the last few years, of the gaming code was being redone, you know, so I didn't know if it was or wasn't. I guess it shows that we'll be possibly meeting with that.
Yeah, we've heard the same. But we haven't seen anything.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Anybody? All right, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Robert Huff?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Jeremy, you're 3 in favor, none against.
3 in favor, none against, motion passes. Turn the chair back over to Representative Huff.
Okay. Moving on down the agenda is NCA 15-138, an act of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending Title 37, Chapter 3, and establishing a new Title 37, Chapter 3, Subchapter 11, entitled Hiring and Employment Prohibition, sponsored by Lucian Tiger.
Motion
made by the pass. Here a second. Floor open for discussion. Any discussion?
This basically, pretty much explanatory. This basically consists of dealing with hiring employees that have committed crimes against the nation. Against the nation is what I want everyone to understand, that this is, you know, we've experienced a lot in the last 6 to 8 months with the former second chief. I think we learned a lot as a nation about how things can get out of control. And without this, again, I keep using an example, but it's the only example I can use, is that after his sentences are served, there's nothing to say that he can't come back and be an employee of the nation. Therefore, he'd have the same benefits as everyone else, and we provide excellent benefits, in my opinion, to our employees. And therefore, yes, he would be paying his restitution back, but at the same time, if anybody's aware of how it happened, it's anywhere minimum of $200 a month. No, that's never going to get paid off. But he'd still be getting great benefits that, in my opinion, he wouldn't be entitled to. No, that's why I think this was something that needed to be done. And I spoke, Mr. White, and I spoke about this during the phase of the trial of Mr. Barnett, and he agreed with me. So the Attorney General's office led me with this, as well as Alicia. This is what we came up with. So if any questions we have,
Well, wouldn't it be easier just to say felonies on this instead of listing all the crimes? Because if we list all the crimes, if they commit some other crime that is against the nation, then that would be, it would be free to go ahead and try to, you know, be in the nation. But if we shouldn't limit the crimes, felonies would cover everything, I would think, except for a misdemeanor, maybe. Is there a difference? Or,
there is a difference in, I mean, felony could be I'm 18 years old and I smoke pot at a public park. That would be a felony that would stay on my record for the rest of my life. We're not trying to be, I don't think Representative Tiger is being punitive with that law. Not only that, you would limit what reintegration clients could come and work for the nation, and the nation is the bigger employer of our reintegration clients.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, what about a molestation or something like that that's not listed? You know, rape or anything like that, if it's not listed on this, then that makes them okay to do that, coming to do this, if we list the crimes. But if it's a felony, it's a felony, you know? And I just think felony would cover more of what everything needs to be done if we're going to do it.
I would first point out that the section that lists the crimes, it says that crimes against the nation which may include but are not limited to, so it doesn't have to be one of these crimes. There can be other things that are included, and I know when Roger met with Representative Tiger, what they discussed was limiting it to crimes of the nation. We're not trying to, I don't think anyone's trying to bar people from employment at the nation who might be participants in the reintegration program. You know, people do change. That's what our reintegration program is aimed at. This is if they commit a crime where the nation is the victim. You stole from the nation. You destroyed the nation's property. That's who, my understanding, they were trying to prevent from employment. People have done things that directly hurt the nation.
Yes.
And so that's why it's drafted the way it is. Putting the felony versus misdemeanor, there could be someone who only steals $500 from the nation. That's a misdemeanor. But they stole from the nation, period, or destroyed the nation's property in the amount of $500 or whatever. Do you still, the fact that they destroyed the nation's property at all, you probably wouldn't want them working for the nation or benefiting from the nation. You see what I'm saying? So if you put just felony, if they destroyed something that wasn't of great value, they could still work for the nation. The fact that they don't respect the nation's property, period, might be the amount they need to work for the nation, period, even if it wasn't a major amount of money. It's the principle that you can't trust them with the nation's property.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. What about a malicious damage property, any crime of law? What I'm worried about is just, you know, like the other crime, violent crimes.
Yeah, and we have HR policies that they do background checks.
They do background
checks? My understanding is they do background checks. I think I'm pretty sure they do them on me before I got hired, so I think I assume they do them on everyone. So that should weed out that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Major violent felonies.
Okay, but it doesn't weed out none of these other crimes either?
I think that's just like Mr. Tiger said. I think he's just trying to make sure that no one who's committed damage to the nation, making this very clear that we don't want those people working for the nation.
Anything else, Frank?
No.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
I was in the process of talking and working on a violent crime law for the nation. You know, back in the day, the council house, you did a violent crime, you didn't walk away down there. You got carried away. But we can't do that nowadays. But I think major crimes need to be addressed. You know, this is a good bill here, but we could look further on down the line as a major crime bill for the nation, too. But I support this.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Any questions? Anybody else? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Frank Coachman.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Chairman, you have 3 in favor, none against.
Yeah, 3 in favor, none against. That motion's been approved. Moving on down the agenda is NCA 15-139. A law for the Muskogee Creek Nation to amend Article 5, Section 1F, and Article 6, Section 2C of the Constitution of the Muskogee Creek Nation to add language pertaining to criminal convictions against the Muskogee Creek Nation.
Motion to pass.
Motion made to pass. For a second.
Second.
Been made. The floor is open for discussion. Any discussion?
Chair. Thank you. This basically goes along with, if you'll look on the first page, line 25, section 1, no person shall be eligible for office of principal chief or second chief. They were already covered under the felony. That was just felony only. We're adding the same language that we did for the previous piece of legislation. But also, if you look on the second page, section 2, start with line 20, the 10 years is in there, but also for counsel, We are trying to add in, or has ever been convicted of the following crimes against the nation again, because crimes against the nation again wasn't specified in, because there's no felony conviction when it comes to counsel, just the 10 years. And after 10 years, you're able to run for counsel. So that's why I added in, if you're convicted of a crime against the nation, you can never run for candidacy for counsel.
I'm going to ask again, cover all the crimes listed?
That's where the 10 years is, because if you read on section 2, no person shall be a representative that is not attained the age of 18 and hold full citizenship, nor has a felony conviction within the past 10 years. That's already in there. That covers 10 years.
Well, if you cover a felony, then you shouldn't have to list all the crimes, should we? I mean, because
I think the listing is an attempt to make sure it's clear that it's a crime against the nation.
Yeah, that means referring to the nation.
Can we just say a felony conviction against the nation, or to me, it's, if you limit the crimes, it leaves kind of a loophole somewhere, I think. If you list them all, and this one lists everything that could possibly happen, the felonies kind of just covers everything again. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Am I wrong in this? Am I thinking?
Yeah, we could. This doesn't have the same language about that listing these. It's not a complete list. There could be it's these things that are listed, but that's not a limitation. You could insert that same language that's in
but
the other bill.
But not limited to.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
And then that way, listing the crimes doesn't limit you to just the listed crimes. It makes that clear, more clear.
How would we word that?
This would be the last thing to ask about the extra trust.
Yeah, you just that word.
Not limited to
the following crimes, included but not limited to, and then the rest of it the same.
Make that motion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Is that okay? Just not limited to.
Yes.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Anybody understand the amendment?
So, tell me, say you're in section C.
Yes. Yes, you have to do it.
Has ever been convicted of the following crime against Miss Recreation?
He's on all of it, too.
But if you quantify it with not limited to, then there has to be someone who makes that judgment, so then he would make the judgment of what it's not limited to.
You'd be able to look up their conviction, and it'll say the crime they were convicted of and who the victim was, and the victim will say, if it's in our court, it says society, meaning the nation. If it's under our court, it's under our code. But it'll list the victim as Muscogee Creek Nation, or Muscogee Creek Nation Travel Plaza, or whoever owned the property, or who it was against. I mean, anything you look up a conviction, it'll tell you the crime they committed and who it was against. And it should list it as the nation, or entity of the nation.
Are there anything else that you guys left out that would
be,
where the nation would be a victim?
I think this list is pretty complete, because it would mostly be either money of the nation or property of the nation that was damaged. So, I mean, and these are pretty much all of the major crimes that address the things you can either do to money or do to property.
Right.
So this is a pretty exhaustive list.
Lindsay, so would you use the, but I'm not limited to every place that had, you know, like even the section 3 on line 5, and when you put it there also?
Yeah, you would.
And also on line 21?
Yeah.
Right, information?
Yeah, anytime it lists out, yeah, those kinds, you put just in parentheses in front of it, including but not limited to.
And then also on line line 29 on section 1?
Yes.
Is that the motion?
Yeah, I'm
there. You second that to that? Okay. Does everybody understand the motion? Okay. Any other questions on it? If not, let's have a roll call vote on the amendment, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Frank Coachman?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you have 3 in favor, none against.
The 3 in favor, none against on the amendment. Respect to the main motion as amended. Any further discussion on that? Anybody else? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Frank Coachman?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you have 3 in favor, none against.
Yeah, 3 in favor, none against. NCA 15-139's amendment has been passed. Moving on down the agenda, referred legislation. NCA 15-120 will be general taxes. 15-121, 123, interest on permanent fund. NCA 15-124, general taxes. 15-126, 130, 132, 133, 134, 135, 136, and 141. Will all be interest on permanent fund. And 15-143 and 144, they passed down. Okay. So do I hear a motion to accept those funding sources for the referral legislation? Motion. Second. Roll call, please. Roll call.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Frank Coachman?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, you have 3 in favor, none against.
3 in favor, none against. So has been approved. Moving on the agenda under other business. Gaming Operations Authority Board. Do I hear a motion to go to the executive session? All in favor, say aye. Everyone who is quick can stay in, though.
Everybody.
Everybody.